Peter Pan, J.M. Barrie, retold by Laura O'Loughlin, narrated by Christian H. Miles. Copyright Global ELT. Level A2.1. Chapter 1. Peter Breaks Through. Wendy came first, then John, then Michael. All children, except one, grow up. They soon know that they will grow up. Wendy learned about this when she was 2 years old, on the day she took a flower to her mother. Mrs. Darling cried, "Oh, why can't you stay like this forever?" From that point, Wendy knew that she must grow up. You always know after you are two. Two is the beginning of the end. The Darling family lived at number 14. Mrs. Darling was very beautiful. Mr. Darling used to tell Wendy that her mother not only loved him, but also respected him. He was one of those very intelligent men who knew about stocks and shares. Because Mr. and Mrs. Darling were poor, the children's nurse was a big dog called Nana. She always made sure the children were clean, and she was up in a moment if one of them coughed in the night. She usually carried an umbrella in her mouth in case of rain. Nana was a very good nurse, and Mr. Darling knew it. However, he sometimes wondered if the neighbours talked. There never was a happier family until Peter Pan arrived. Mrs. Darling first heard of Peter when she was tidying up her children's minds. Every good mother tidies her children's minds when they are asleep. It is quite like tidying up drawers. All the bad thoughts are put away neatly at the bottom of your mind. And on top, she puts all your prettiest thoughts, so that you can put them on in the morning. Sometimes, when she was tidying her children's minds, Mrs. Darling found things she could not understand. One of these was the word Peter. She did not know anyone called Peter, but it was in the minds of all three children.
"But who is he, my pet?" Mrs. Darling asked Wendy. "He is Peter Pan, you know, Mother."
At first, Mrs. Darling did not know. Then she remembered a Peter Pan who was said to live with the fairies. She had believed in him when she was small.
"But," she said to Wendy, "he would be grown up by now."
"Oh, no, he isn't grown up," Wendy said confidently.
"He is the same size as me."
Mrs. Darling told Mr. Darling, but he just smiled.
"It is just some story that Nana has told them. Don't worry about it."
But soon, the naughty Peter Pan gave Mrs. Darling quite a shock. One night, all the children were in bed. Mrs. Darling sat down by the fire to sew. The fire was so lovely and warm, however, that she soon fell asleep. "Look at the four of them, Wendy and Michael over there, John here, and Mrs. Darling by the fire." While she slept, Mrs. Darling dreamed that a strange boy had come from Neverland. Suddenly, the window blew open and a boy dropped onto the floor. He had a strange light with him, no bigger than your hand.
which flew about the room. I think it was the light that woke Mrs. Darling. She jumped up with a cry, saw the boy, and somehow knew at once that he was Peter Pan. He was dressed in leaves and still had all his first teeth. When he saw that she was a grown-up, he showed her his little teeth like an angry dog. Nana jumped at the boy and caught his shadow in her mouth. She was not quick enough to catch Peter. Mrs. Darling looked at the shadow. It looked like an ordinary shadow. She rolled it up and put it away in a drawer.
Ah, me!
She sighed. The next Friday was a day that none of them would ever forget.
I should have been more careful, Mrs. Darling used to say afterwards.
No, no, Mr. Darling always said. It was my fault.
If only we had not agreed to go to a restaurant called Number 27, Mrs. Darling said.
On that Friday evening, Mrs. Darling had put the children to bed. Nana was outside. They could hear her barking.
That is not Nana's unhappy bark, said Wendy. That is her bark when she smells danger.
Danger? Are you sure, Wendy?
Oh, yes.
Mrs. Darling went to the window. It was closed. She looked out and saw many beautiful stars. They were crowding around the house, as if curious to see what was going to happen.
Oh, I wish that I weren't going to a party tonight, she said.
Can anything harm us, Mother, after the night lights are lit? Asked Michael.
Nothing precious, she said. They are the eyes a mother leaves behind her to guard her children.
I'm glad you're my mother, said little Michael. They were the last words she was to hear from him for a long time. Soon after, Father and Mother Darling walked to Number 27. It was snowing lightly. The stars watched them go. Stars are beautiful, but they cannot do anything, only watch. Some of the stars wanted Peter to have some fun and get the grown-ups out of the way. As soon as Mr. and Mrs. Darling entered Number 27, the smallest of all the stars screamed out,
Now, Peter!
Chapter 2 Come Away, Come Away. Soon after Mr. and Mrs. Darling left the house, a light that was 1,000 times brighter than the night lights entered the room. It was not really a light, but a girl fairy no bigger than your hand. Her name was Tinkerbell, and she wore a beautiful leaf dress. Peter followed her in.
Tink, where are you? Peter called quietly. Did you find my shadow?
The sound of golden bells answered him. It is the fairy language. Peter quickly pulled his shadow from the drawer, but it would not stick back on. He began to cry. His crying woke Wendy.
Boy, why are you crying?
Peter bowed to her, as the fairies had taught him.
What's your name? He asked.
Wendy Moira Angela Darling, she replied. What is your name?
Peter Pan.
Where do you live?
Second to the right, said Peter.
And then straight on till morning.
What a funny address.
No, it isn't, he said.
Is that what they put on the letters?
Don't get any letters, he said.
But your mother gets letters.
Don't have a mother, he said.
Oh, Peter, no wonder you were crying, she said. I was crying because I can't get my shadow to stick back on.
It has come off?
Yes.
Then it must be sewn on, she said. I'll sew it on for you.
She sewed the shadow onto his foot, and soon he was jumping around happily.
Oh, Wendy, he said, in a very sweet voice. One girl is better than 20 boys. That's very sweet. Would you like a kiss?
Peter did not know what a kiss was, so he held out his hand. Not to hurt his feelings, she gave him a thimble. Now, he said, could I give you a kiss? He put an acorn in her hand. She smiled and said that she would wear his kiss around her neck. It was lucky she did, for it later saved her life.
Peter, how old are you?
I don't know. I ran away a long time ago. I wanted to stay a little boy and to have fun. So I ran away to live with the fairies.
So fairies are real?
Oh, yes, and he explained. When the first baby laughed for the first time, its laugh broke into 1,000 pieces. And those pieces were the first fairies. But when a child says, I don't believe in fairies, a fairy dies. The sound of bells came from the drawer. Peter had shut Tink in. He let her out, and she flew around the room, shouting at him.
She's very angry,
laughed Peter.
Well, Peter, where do you live now?
Wendy asked.
With the lost boys. Oh, who are they?
They are the children who fall out of their prams. If no one collects them in 7 days, they are sent to Neverland. I'm captain.
How fun!
Yes, said Clever Peter. But we are very lonely. There are no girls there.
No girls?
Oh, no. Girls are much too clever to fall out of their prams. I wish there was someone to tell us stories.
Come with me, Wendy. But I can't fly. I'll teach you. Can you teach my brothers too?
Oh, all right, he replied. She ran to John and Michael.
Wake up! She cried. Peter Pan is here, and he is going to teach us to fly.
John rubbed his eyes.
Hello, Peter. Can you really fly?
He asked. Instead of answering, Peter flew around the room.
Wow! Said Michael. How do you do it?
Asked John. You just think lovely, wonderful thoughts, Peter explained. And they lift you up in the air. They all tried, but it didn't happen. Peter was tricking them, because you need fairy dust to fly. He put some on them, and they all began flying around the room.
I'm flying! Screamed Michael. Oh, lovely! Cried Wendy.
Look at me! Cried John.
Up and down they went, and round and round.
Let's go out.
Of course, this was exactly what Peter had wanted. The window opened and the children flew over the town and to the ocean. They flew for 1 day and 1 night. Sometimes they would fall asleep and drop out of the sky, like stones. Peter would dive down and save them 1 moment before they hit the water. After a long, long time, they saw the island of Neverland. All the children recognized it. It was the island that they had imagined. Neverland was really fun in their minds. But now it was real. Very dark and scary. Suddenly, as they were all flying around, Peter cried out,
Quick! It's the pirates! They have Long Tom their biggest gun, pointed at us.
Pirates! Cried the children.
Yes, their captain is Hook, the worst of them all.
Is he big?
Asked John. He is not as big as he was. I cut a bit off him.
Oh, what bit?
His right hand. Now he has a hook instead.
Wow!
Suddenly, there was a bright light and a whoosh. Michael and John were blown away. Peter, the other, and Wendy straight up. She was left with Tinkerbell. Tinkerbell did not like Wendy. She was very jealous of her and wanted to get rid of her. She gave a sign for Wendy to follow her. What else could poor Wendy do? She did not know yet that Tink hated her. She followed Tink into the darkness.
Chapter 3. The Island Becomes Real. On the night Peter returned, Neverland came to life again. The Lost Boys were out looking for Peter. The pirates were out looking for the Lost Boys. The Indians were out looking for the pirates. And the animals were out looking for the Indians. Everyone was following each other around the island. The six Lost Boys are wearing bear skins to keep them warm. They are Tootles, Nibs, Slightly, Curly, and the little twins. The boys keep walking, and soon the pirates appear, singing a song.
Yo-ho-ho, here we go!
First is Checo. Bill Dukes follows him, along with Cookson, Noodler, Starkey, and Smee, an old pirate. In the middle is Captain James Hook. He has long black curly hair. His eyes are blue, except for when he is fighting with his hook. Then they light up red. He can be very polite, but this makes him even scarier. The Indians follow the pirates. This is the Little Indian Tribe. Great Big Little Panther is their leader. Tiger Lily is their beautiful princess. She is also a very good fighter. The Indians disappear, and here come some hungry animals. Lions, tigers, and bears. The last in line is a very big crocodile. It is looking for someone special. The crocodile passes, and the boys appear again. They stop for a rest, but quick. Here come the pirates. The boys disappear fast, like rabbits. They are soon back in their homes, in the ground.
Where are they? Said Hook. I want all seven. Most of all, I want their captain, Peter Pan. He cut off my hand and threw it to a crocodile. It liked my hand so much that it has followed me ever since, waiting to eat the rest of me.
Ha! At least you know you taste good, said Smee.
Ha! Said Hook, sitting down on a mushroom. That crocodile would have already eaten me, but luckily for me, it swallowed a clock that goes tick, tick inside it, and so I can hear when it is near. Then he jumped up.
Oh, this seat is hot.
He picked up the mushroom and smoke came out of the ground.
A chimney?
They had discovered the chimney of the Lost Boys, home under the ground. Hook smiled.
What's your plan, Captain?
Cried Smee.
We will return to the ship, Hook replied, and cook a large, rich cake. We will leave the cake
for the boys, and they will eat it. And then they will die.
He began laughing, but all of a sudden he stopped and listened.
Tick, 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 tick.
The crocodile! He cried, and they all ran away. The boys came out of their house. They saw a big white bird flying over them. It was Wendy. Tinkerbell was flying with her.
Hello, Tink! Cried the boys.
Peter wants you to shoot the Wendy bird! Shouted Tink.
Quick! Tootles, quick!
She screamed. Tootles fired, and Wendy fell to the ground with an arrow in her chest.
I have shot the Wendy! He cried. Peter will be so pleased with me.
Tinkerbell went to hide, slightly looked at Wendy.
This is no bird,
he said in a scared voice.
This is a lady.
A lady, said Tootles.
And we have killed her, Nib said.
At that moment, Peter returned. Hello, boys, he cried cheerfully. There was silence. Aren't you happy to see me? I have brought a mother for you all. Have you seen her? The boys moved out of the way to let him see her.
She is dead, he said.
He pulled the arrow from her heart.
Look,
cried Nibs.
Her arm!
Wendy's arm moved. Peter sat down beside her and found his acorn. She was wearing it around her neck.
The arrow hit this, he said.
It is the kiss I gave her. It has saved her life. Then they told Peter what Tink had done.
What should we do, Peter?
Asked Tootles. We must build a little house for Wendy, said Peter. Just then, John and Michael appeared.
What are you doing?
Asked Michael.
Building a house for the Wendy, said Curly.
You must help us.
For Wendy, John said.
But she is only a girl.
Yes, explained Curly.
And we are her servants.
And so you are, said Peter.
Now, help her.
Soon they had built a little red house with a green floor. They made windows, and Peter knocked a hole in John's hat and put it on the roof as a chimney. There, it was done. They all knocked on the door, and Wendy opened it.
Wendy, lady, said Slightly, we built you this house.
Oh, it is lovely,
Wendy said.
And we are your children, cried the twins.
But I am only a little girl, said Wendy. I have no real experience.
That doesn't matter, said Peter.
Very well,
she said.
I will do my best.
Come inside.
They all went into the little house. It was the first of many happy evenings for them in Neverland. Wendy put them all to bed, except for Peter, who stood guard outside.
Chapter 4. Mermaid Pool. One of the first things Peter did was to make Wendy, John, and Michael their own doors in their own trees to the house under the ground. You must fit exactly into your own door, or you cannot enter. They all loved their new house. It was just one large room with a big fire, and all the boys except Michael slept in one big bed. Tinkerbell had her own special corner with the best and most beautiful fairy furniture. The boys kept Wendy very busy. She cooked and cleaned all day. She sewed up the holes in their trousers. As time passed, they all began to forget their parents. Wendy made the children
take exams on their family. The questions were easy, such as,
who was taller, mother or father?
Still, after a time, they could no longer remember. Peter had adventures every day. I will tell you about one of his adventures now. The time he saved Tiger Lily at Mermaid Pool. The children often spent long summer days at the lagoon. The mermaids did not like them. Wendy watched them, combing their long hair, and wanted to be friends with them. The only one they talked to was Peter. He gave Wendy one of their combs. One day, they were all sitting on Maruna's Rock. The boys were sleeping, and only Wendy was awake. There are stories that Maruna's Rock is sometimes used by mean captains. They put sailors on it, and when the water rises, the sailors drown. Suddenly, the sky became dark. Wendy thought she could hear someone coming. Peter woke up, and he quickly woke the others. He put one hand to his ear.
Pirates! He cried. Dive!
They all dived into the water. A boat came closer. There were three people on board. Smee, Starkey, and their prisoner, Tiger Lily. They had caught her boarding the pirate ship with a knife in her mouth, and they planned to leave her on the rock to die.
Put her on the rock,
cried an Irish voice that was Smee's. Nearby, Peter and Wendy's heads were sticking out of the water. Wendy was crying, feeling sad for Tiger Lily. Peter wanted to save Tiger Lily. He could have waited until the pirates left. But he never liked to do things the easy way. He then copied the voice of Hook.
Ahoy there, he called. The captain, said the pirates, staring at each other in surprise. We are putting the redskin on the rock, Smee called out.
Set her free, came the answer.
But captain, now, cried Peter. Aye, aye,
Smee said, and he let her go. Tiger Lily slid into the water and swam away. Peter felt very proud of himself. At that moment, the real Hook swam to the boat and climbed in.
Captain, said the surprised pirates. Those boys have found a mother. Well, captain, said Smee. Why don't we take her and make her our mother?
Yes, cried Hook. We will capture them and carry them all to the boat. The boys we will make walk the plank, and Wendy will be our mother.
Never!
Cried Wendy.
What was that?
But they could see nothing. Suddenly, Hook remembered Tiger Lily.
Where is she? He demanded. We let her go, Captain, said Smee. Let her go? Cried Hook. Like you said, explained Starkey. I said no such thing.
Then Smee had an idea and shouted,
You in the water! Do you hear me?
Peter should have kept quiet, but of course he did not. He answered in Hook's voice,
I hear you. Who are you, stranger?
Hook demanded.
I am James Hook, replied the voice, captain of the Jolly Rogers.
I see. Tell me, Hook, do you have another voice? Asked Hook. Peter liked to play games, and he answered in his own voice.
I have.
And another name?
Yes.
Are you a man? Asked Hook.
No.
Boy?
Yes.
Do you give up? Cried Peter.
Yes.
Yes, they answered.
I am Peter Pan.
Pan! They all cried.
Take him dead or alive,
Hook shouted. Are you ready, boys? Cried Peter.
Yes,
they replied.
Then fight!
They began to fight in the water. Hook climbed up onto the rock at the same time as Peter. He bit Peter's hand. They fought hard, and twice the hook got Peter. Hook suddenly began swimming as fast as he could for his ship. The crocodile was chasing him. His pirates followed him. The boys laughed. Then they went to look for Peter and Wendy, but they could not find them. They thought the two of them must have already flown home, so they left. It was now silent. Peter pulled Wendy onto the rock. He saw the water was rising and that they would soon drown. But he was injured and could not fly or swim.
We are on the rock, Wendy, he said.
But it is growing smaller. Soon the water will be over it.
I can't help you, Wendy.
Suddenly, something brushed against Peter. It was Michael's kite. It could only carry one of them, so Peter tied Wendy to it. She floated up, and soon he could not see her anymore. Peter was alone in Mermaid Pool. The rock was very small now. Soon it would be under the water. Peter was almost never afraid, but he was afraid now. He said to himself, "To die will be a very big adventure."
Chapter 5. The Happy Home. The waters rose until they were at Peter's feet. He noticed something white in the water. He thought it was a piece of paper. He soon realized that it was not a piece of paper. It was the Never Bird trying to reach Peter on her nest. Using her wings, she was moving the nest closer and closer to him. She called out to him, but he could not understand her. In some stories, people can talk to animals. And I wish that were the case here. But I can only tell you what really happened. Not only did they not understand each other, but they forgot their manners too.
I want you to get into the nest, the bird called as slowly as possible. And then you can take it to land.
What are you talking about? Peter didn't understand.
I want you,
the bird said, and repeated it all again. Then Peter tried speaking slowly.
What are you talking about?
The Never Bird became angry.
Why don't you do as I tell you?
Then, at last, he understood. And he got into the nest. The bird watched him, worried that he would harm her eggs. The pirate, Starkey, had left his hat on the rock. Peter put the eggs into it, and they floated away. The bird was very pleased with the hat. Peter floated towards land and ran home. They were all so happy to see him.
One important result of the fight with the pirates at Mermaid Pool was that it made the Indians the children's friends. Peter had saved Tiger Lily from drowning, and now the Indians wanted to help him in his next fight against the pirates. They called Peter the Great White Father. He liked that very much.
Me, Tiger Lily,
the beautiful girl would say.
Peter Pan, save me. Me, no let pirates hurt him.
We have now reached the evening that they would always call the Night of Nights, because of what happened. All the children were having a make-believe tea. All except Peter, who had gone out to get the time. The way you got the time on the island was to find the crocodile and then stay near it until the clock inside it struck. The children were behaving very badly.
Silence!
Cried Wendy for the 20th time.
Is your cup empty, Slightly, darling?
Not quite empty, Mummy, Slightly said.
Curly doesn't like his milk, cried Nibs.
May I sit in Peter's chair, as he's not here? Asked John.
Sit in Father's chair, John? Certainly not,
shouted Nibs.
He is not really our father, John answered. He did not even know what a father does until I showed him.
Oh, can I be father? Asked Tootles.
No, Tootles, said John.
Oh, Michael, can I be baby? He asked.
No,
Michael replied.
Oh dear, oh dear,
cried Wendy. She sat down to her sewing. Every pair of trousers had a hole in it. While she sewed, the boys played around her. It was a happy scene, but sadly, it was the last time it would happen. There was a sound above.
Children, I hear your father. Meet him at the door.
Peter had brought nuts for the boys, as well as the correct time for Wendy.
Peter, you spoil them, smiled Wendy.
Old lady, said Peter, hanging up his gun. The first twin came to Peter.
Father, we want to dance.
Peter was really the best dancer among them, but he pretended to be shocked.
Me, dance? With my old bones?
And Mummy too.
It is Saturday night,
Slightly said. It was not really Saturday night. They did not know what day it was anymore. But if they wanted to do anything special, they would say that it was Saturday night. And then they would do it. They all began to dance.
Ah, old lady, Peter said to Wendy. There is nothing better than to be at home with you and the little ones.
It is sweet, Peter, isn't it?
Wendy said. Peter's face suddenly changed.
Peter, what is it?
I was just thinking, he said, a little scared. It is only make-believe, isn't it, that I am their father?
Oh, yes,
Wendy said.
You see, he continued, it would make me seem so old to be their real father.
I see, Peter,
she asked.
What are your exact feelings about me?
Those of a good son, Wendy.
I thought so,
she said unhappily.
You are so strange, he said. And Tiger Lily is just the same. There is something she wants to be to me. But she says it is not my mother.
No, I'm sure it is not, Wendy replied.
Now we know why she did not like the Indians.
Perhaps Tinkerbell will tell me what it is.
Oh, yes,
Tinkerbell will tell you.
He had a sudden idea. Perhaps Tink wants to be my mother.
No!
Cried Tinkerbell from her corner. Soon it was story time. They always told stories before bed. The boys all got into bed to hear Wendy tell the story they loved best. The story Peter hated. Usually, when she began to tell this story, he would leave the room. If he had done so that night, they might all still be in Neverland. But he stayed in his chair, and we will see what happened.
Chapter 6. The children are carried off. The children were in their house, and the Indians were keeping guard above.
Listen then,
said Wendy, beginning her story, with Michael at her feet and seven boys in the bed.
There was once a man. His name was Mr. Darling, and his wife's name was Mrs. Darling. They had three children. One day, all the children flew away.
It's a very good story, said Nibs.
They flew away,
Wendy continued,
to Neverland, where the lost children are. Now think of the feelings of the unhappy parents.
Oh,
they all cried, though they did not really care.
Think of the empty beds.
Oh, is there a happy ending?
Asked the second twin.
Oh, yes, said Wendy, because a mother's love is great.
Peter did not like this part.
You see,
Wendy continued,
the children knew that the mother would always leave the window open for her children to fly back in. So they stayed away for years and had a lovely time.
Did they ever go back?
Well, let us look into the future. We can see three adults leaving London Station. They are walking to a house. Look, the window is still open. Now they will be rewarded for believing in their mother's love.
Peter was looking at her seriously.
Wendy, you are wrong about mothers, he said.
They all gathered around him.
Long ago, he began, I thought, like you, that my mother would always keep the window open for me. So I stayed away for years. But when I flew back, the window was locked. For mother had forgotten all about me, and there was another little boy sleeping in my bed. I am not sure that this was true, but Peter thought it was true, and it scared the boys.
Are you sure mothers are like that?
Yes.
So this was the truth about mothers.
The toads. Wendy, let's go home, cried John and Michael together.
Yes, she said. At once. Peter, will you please organise it for us?
If you like, he said, trying not to show that he cared. If she did not mind leaving him, he was going to show her that he didn't mind either.
You can all come with us if you like,
she said, thinking only of Peter.
I'm sure my parents won't mind. Get your things, Peter,
she said.
No, he answered, pretending not to care. I am not going with you, Wendy.
Yes, Peter.
No. I just always want to be a little boy and to have fun. Now, no crying. Goodbye.
Tink will fly you back to town.
Are you ready, Tinkerbell? He called out.
Aye, aye,
said the fairy. She was happy that Wendy was leaving. Then, lead the way, said Peter. Tink flew up into the nearest tree, but no one followed her, because at this moment the pirates started their fierce attack on the Indians. The air was suddenly filled with noise. Below the ground, the children looked at Peter, begging him not to leave them. As for Peter, he took his sword and prepared for battle. The pirate attack had been a complete surprise because Hook had broken the rules of battle. Everybody knows that the Indians always attack before morning. The enemy camps near water and the two sides fight at first light. Instead of following these rules, Hook had walked through the night with his pirates without resting, and they had attacked the Indians at their camp. The little Indians were unprepared to meet Hook. Standing guard around the brave Tiger Lily were a dozen of her best warriors. Suddenly, they saw the pirates coming towards them. It was too late. Many died that night on both sides. Hook did what was best to protect his men. If he had waited until morning, he certainly would have lost. The remaining Indians ran into the trees to hide. Hook did not look pleased. It was not the Indians he had come out to destroy. It was Pan that he wanted. Peter was such a small boy that it seems strange that Hook hated him so much. The truth was that there was something about Peter that made the captain very angry. How was he going to get the boys? None of his men would fit down the holes. Let us return to the boys. They were listening carefully for sounds above. Which side had won? The pirates, listening at the mouths of the trees, heard the question asked by every boy, and they also heard Peter's answer. If the Indians have won, he said, they will beat the tom-tom. It is always their sign of victory. In the meanwhile, Smee had found the tom-tom. Hook signed to him to beat it. He beat it twice, then stopped to listen. The tom-tom, the pirates heard Peter shout. It's an Indian victory. The children answered with a cheer that was music to the black hearts above. The men smiled at each other and rubbed their hands. Quickly and silently, Hook sent his men to wait by the trees. Chapter 7. The Pirate Ship. The children said goodbye to Peter and flew out of the tree. The pirates caught each of them and tied them up. Wendy was treated differently. Politely, Hook offered her his arm and took her to join the boys. They were all tied up to prevent them from flying away. They found that Slightly was much bigger than the rest. Hook began to form a plan. He told his men to carry the children to the ship. He stayed behind. When he was alone, he went to Slightly's tree. It was big enough for him to fit inside. He listened and heard nothing, so he made his way down the hole. In the darkness, his eyes noticed objects in the room. Then he saw Peter, fast asleep on the bed. Peter, not knowing what had happened above, had pretended that he did not care that the others were gone. In fact, he had nearly cried. But he decided to laugh instead. He let out a big laugh and fell asleep in the middle of it. That was how Hook found him. He wanted to kill Peter. Hook always carried a very powerful drug. It was yellow, and perhaps the most poisonous drug in the world. He added 5 drops of it to Peter's cup. With one long last look at Peter, he went back up the hole and made his way towards the ship. Peter slept on until Tinkerbell came back. She flew in excitedly and, with a red face, told him that Wendy and the boys had been taken by Hook. "I'll rescue her," he cried. Then he thought of something he could do to please Wendy. He could take the medicine that she liked to give the boys.
"No!"
cried Tinkerbell, who knew what Hook had done.
"Hook poisoned it!"
"It isn't possible. How could Hook have got down here?" He raised the cup. In a second, Tink got between his lips and the cup and drank it all. She began spinning in the air. "Oh, Tink, did you drink it to save me?"
"Yes."
"But why, Tink?" She just gave his nose a loving bite and flew to her bed. His head filled her bedroom, and his tears fell on her. He heard her say that she thought she could get well again if children believed in fairies. Peter spoke this aloud in case any children might be listening.
"Do you believe?" he cried. "If you believe, clap your hands. Don't let Tink die."
Many clapped. Some didn't. Tink grew stronger. And then she got up. Soon she was fine again.
"And now to rescue Wendy."
Peter flew towards the ship as quickly as he could.
"Hook or me this time," he said.
The Jolly Roger lay low in the water. The pirates sat around, playing games and drinking. Some slept, being careful to stay out of Hook's way. Hook walked up and down his room. Peter was gone forever, and the other boys were about to walk the plank. Yet he did not feel happy. He felt very sad. It was because he was so lonely. A tear ran down his face.
"I have no little children to love me," he said.
His pirates began to dance. This brought him to his feet at once, and any other thoughts were forgotten.
"Quiet," he cried. "Bring up the children."
The boys were lined up in front of him.
"Now then," he said. 6 of you walk the plank tonight. But I have room for 2 boys who want to join us. Who will it be?"
The boys looked at each other.
"You, boy," he said to John. "Do you want to be a pirate?"
"I once thought of calling myself Red-Handed Jack," John said.
"And a good name, too. We'll call you that here, if you join."
"What would you call me, if I join?"
Michael demanded.
"Blackbeard Joe."
"What do you think, John?"
Michael asked.
"Will we still serve the king?"
John asked Hook.
No, you would have to say, down with the king.
Then I refuse, he cried.
Hook roared out.
That's it. Bring up their mother. Get the plank ready.
Wendy hated the pirates more than anything, but her thoughts were with the boys.
So, my beauty, said Hook in a sweet voice, you will watch your children walk the plank.
Then he cried,
silence all, for a mother's last words to her children.
My last words, she said firmly, are from your real mothers. They say, we hope our sons will die like good Englishmen.
Tie her up, shouted Hook.
He smiled and took a step towards Wendy, but he never reached her. He heard something that made him stop. It was the terrible tick, tick of the crocodile. They all heard it and turned to look at Hook.
Hide me, hide me, cried the captain. It is coming onto the ship.
The boys rushed to the ship's side to see the crocodile climbing up. Then they got the strangest surprise of the night of nights. There was no crocodile there. It was Peter. He smiled at them and went on ticking.
Chapter 8. The End of Hook and the Return Home. As Peter was flying towards the ship, he passed the crocodile. He noticed that it wasn't ticking anymore. He realized that the clock must have stopped. He began ticking himself so that the animals in the forest would think he was the crocodile and leave him alone. The crocodile, thinking that Peter had taken its old friend, the clock, followed him. But, as we have seen, when Peter arrived at the ship, Hook believed the crocodile was coming to get him. Peter climbed over the side of the ship and went inside a room. He barked like a dog, and all the pirates got very scared. Captain Hook sent two pirates in to find out what the noise was, but they didn't come back. Then he sent in the children. Inside, Peter took off their ropes, and they prepared to fight. Peter ran out to meet Hook.
It is I, Peter Pan, he cried. Get him, cried Hook.
The pirates ran at Peter, and the Lost Boys ran forward to fight them. The pirates were stronger, but they were so scared of the ticking and the noise of the dog that they did not fight well. Some jumped into the sea. Others hid in dark corners. And in the end, there were no pirates left to fight. The only one they could not beat was Hook. Then Peter came to fight him.
This man is mine, cried Peter.
Hook found himself face to face with Peter Pan. For a long time, the two enemies looked at each other.
So, Pan, said Hook at last, you caused all of this.
Aye, James Hook, he answered. I did.
Proud boy, said Hook. Prepare to die.
Dark man,
Peter answered back. Prepare to die. They began to fight. Both were very good fighters. At last, Peter hit Hook with his sword. Hook began to bleed.
Who are you, Pan? He cried.
Hook continued to fight, but he was not strong anymore. He knew that he was going to die. He ran to the side of the ship and prepared to jump. Goodbye, James Hook. Seeing Peter coming towards him in the air, he jumped into the sea. He did not know the crocodile was waiting for him, as it no longer ticked. The crocodile swallowed him in one bite. That was the end of James Hook. The children sailed away from Neverland the next morning on the Jolly Roger. The new captain wanted to keep the ship a pirate ship. Sometimes Captain Pan would hold his finger up, just like a hook. They sailed for 10 days. Instead of watching the ship, however, let's return to that sad home, number 14. We have not been there for a long time. Tonight, the children will come home. Mrs. Darling is sleeping in a chair in the piano room. Her eyes are sad, and there is no smile on her lips. What if, to make her happy, we whisper to her that her children are coming back? Let's. Oh, she has woken up and is calling their names. Mr. Darling has just arrived home. He kisses his wife and says, Darling, can we shut the window? It is cold.
No, George. You know that the window must be left open for them always.
Yes, of course. Then would you play me a song? She plays on the piano, and he soon falls asleep. Then, can you guess who flies into the children's room? It is Peter and Tink.
Quick, Tink, Peter whispers. Close and lock the window. Then, when Wendy comes back, she will think her mother does not love her any more, and she will go back to Neverland with me.
Then he sees Mrs. Darling.
Look, it's Wendy's mother.
The music has stopped. Mrs. Darling is crying.
She wants me to open the window, thinks Peter. But I won't.
He looks at her again. She is still crying. She likes Wendy very much, but so do I. We can't both have her, lady. The lady is making him very unhappy. Oh, all right, he says at last, sadly. Then he opens the window. When Wendy, John, and Michael arrive, they find the window open for them. They all get into bed to surprise their mother. When Mrs. Darling goes back to the children's room, they are all in their beds. They wait for her to say something, but she says nothing. She sees them, but she does not believe they are there. You see, she thinks that she is dreaming. She sits by the fire.
Mother!
Wendy cries.
That's Wendy,
she says, still sure she is dreaming.
Mother! That's John,
she says.
Mother!
Cries Michael.
That's Michael,
she says. All three of them run to her, and she realizes that she is not dreaming anymore. Mr. Darling and Nana come in to see what is happening. They are all so happy. Peter watches them from the window. He has a wonderful life, but he is looking at something he will never have. Chapter 9. When Wendy grew up. I hope you want to know what happened to the lost boys. All of them, except for Peter, came into the house and asked Mr. and Mrs. Darling to keep them. Of course, they did. In the end, Mrs. Darling also agreed to let Wendy go to Neverland for 1 week every year to help Peter with his spring cleaning. Peter flew away, and Wendy could not wait for him to come back again in spring. The boys all went to school. It is sad to say that they soon became very normal children. And they even forgot how to fly. Nana used to tie them to their beds at night. But after a while, she did not need to do that. Peter came for Wendy the next spring. She flew away with him in the dress she had made from leaves and berries in Neverland. He noticed that she had grown. She had looked forward to talking to him about old times, but he did not remember.
"Who is Captain Hook?" he asked. "And who is Tinkerbell?"
"Oh, Peter," she said, shocked.
"You see, fairies don't live very long." Even though he did not remember, they had a lovely time spring cleaning the house. The next year, he did not come for her. Wendy waited in a new dress because the old one did not fit anymore. But he never came.
"Perhaps he is sick," Michael said.
Peter came next, the next spring, and the strange thing was that he never knew he had missed a year. That was the last time the girl Wendy ever saw him. Wendy soon grew up, and the years passed without a visit from Peter. When they met again, Wendy was a married woman. Years went by, and Wendy had a daughter. She was called Jane, and little Jane asked many questions. She loved the story Wendy told about Peter Pan. Wendy lived in the same house, which her husband bought from Mr. Darling. One night a week, Jane's nurse had a holiday, and Wendy would put Jane to bed. Jane would wait for her mother to tell her a story about Neverland. She especially loved the story of the house under the ground. And then it happened. It was spring, and Jane was asleep. Wendy was sitting on the floor, very close to the fire. Suddenly, the window blew open and Peter dropped in onto the floor. He was exactly the same as ever. He was a little boy and she was grown up.
"Hello, Wendy," he said. In the dark, he had not noticed that she was grown up.
Hello, Peter,
she replied. Something inside her was crying.
Woman, woman, let go of me.
Is Michael asleep? He asked, looking at Jane.
That is not Michael, she said.
Peter looked.
Is it a new one?
Yes. Boy or girl?
Girl, she replied. Peter,
she said.
Are you expecting me to fly away with you?
Of course. Have you forgotten that it is spring cleaning time?
I can't go, she said. I have forgotten how to fly.
I'll teach you again.
No, Peter.
She stood up, and at last he realized.
No,
he cried. She let her hands play in his hair. She smiled at him with wet eyes. She picked him up in her arms and said,
I am old, Peter. I am much older than 20. I grew up long ago.
You promised not to.
I couldn't help it. I am a married woman, Peter.
No, you're not.
Yes, and the little girl in the bed is my baby.
No, she's not. He took a step towards the sleeping child, and then he sat down on the floor and cried. Wendy did not know what to do. She went out of the room to try to think. Peter's crying woke Jane. She sat up in bed.
Boy, she said, why are you crying?
Peter rose and bowed to her. Hello, he said.
Hello,
said Jane. My name is Peter Pan, he told her.
Yes, I know.
I came back for my mother, he explained, to take her to Neverland.
Yes, I know, Jane said. I have been waiting for you.
When Wendy returned, Jane was flying around the room. She is my mother now, Peter explained. Jane floated down and looked at Peter with the same look that Wendy had once given him.
He needs a mother, she said.
Yes, I know, Wendy admitted.
Goodbye,
said Peter to Wendy. And he rose in the air. Jane rose with him. Wendy rushed to the window.
No, no, she cried. It is just for spring cleaning time, Jane said. If only I could go with you, Wendy said. But you can't fly, said Jane.
Of course, in the end, Wendy let them fly away together. She watched them from the window until they were as small as stars. Now Wendy's hair is white, for all this happened long ago. Jane is now an ordinary grown-up with a daughter called Margaret. And every spring cleaning time, except when he forgets, Peter comes for Margaret and takes her to Neverland. When Margaret grows up, she will have a daughter who will be Peter's mother. And so it will continue, as long as children are happy and innocent.